Welcome to Law School Podcaster, your source for inside information and advice on the law school application process. I'm Althea Legospi. Sports and entertainment law is one of those sexy-sounding practice areas. As in, it sounds pretty cool to say, I'm a sports lawyer, or I'm an entertainment lawyer. And the idea of representing celebrities, athletes, authors, entertainers, and their employers is pretty enticing. But it's not all glamour, and certainly not all about celebrities. So, what exactly does the practice area of sports and entertainment law cover? What do these types of lawyers do, and how can law students break into this specialty? Listen in to our special program devoted to this field. We discuss the topic with insiders, who serve both as outside and in-house counsel in the sports and entertainment law practice area, and with a professor who directs the entertainment curriculum at a top law school. Joining us is Fox Television Studios Senior Vice President of Business and Legal Affairs, Shelley Reed, New York Mets General Counsel, David Cohen, Managing Director of the Motion Picture Association of America's Indian Office, Rajiv Dalal, Loeb & Loeb Associate, Rupin Fafaria, and Executive Director of the Entertainment Program at University of Southern California's Law School, John Shulman. They share insight into the practice area and advice on the types of things to explore for those who want to get in the game.
This is Law School Podcaster. Stay tuned to the rest of our show after a word from our sponsor.
Support for Law School Podcaster comes from the Association of Media and Entertainment Counsel, AMEC. AMEC is the only organization designed to support the career development and to honor the achievements of in-house counsel and business affairs attorneys at major entertainment and media companies. Are you a future lawyer considering a career in the area of entertainment, media, and sports law? AMEC has a law school section especially for students. The mission of this group is to educate students and to promote interest in the practice area of entertainment, media, and sports law. The AMEC Law School section will host student-sponsored events at law schools throughout the country. Learn more about how you can get involved by visiting the AMEC website at www.theamec.com.
Let's first take a look at what sports and entertainment law is. Executive Director of the Entertainment Program at USC's Law School, John Shulman, who's also a partner at Mitchell, Silberberg & Knupp, defines entertainment law.
Entertainment law is the representations of people involved in the entertainment industry, whether that is theater, television, song, dance, live performances. It also embraces modern technology that determine how audiovisual works are produced and distributed. It also deals with merchandise and games. It also involves, if you're one of those individuals, representation of the entities in the business, those dealing with the individuals, those doing the production, those doing the distribution. It's a lot of different kinds of practices for a lot of people dealing with one kind of general subject matter.
While the practice area for entertainment and sports is indeed broad, focusing on specific subspecialties can be a way in the door. Loeb & Loeb associate Rupin Fafaria, for example, was a sports journalist initially and worked his way into sports law.
My main practice is as a branding attorney. I do trademarks, marketing, and advertising. And then I guess a subset of that is the sports and entertainment work, where I do that trademark, that marketing, and that advertising law for sports and entertainment clients. And so I got into the sports and entertainment component of it, I guess, by way of boomerang, really. I mean, I started out my career when I graduated college in the sports industry. I was a sports writer for 3 years before I went to law school. And in fact, through law school, I continued to write as a freelancer for ESPN.com. And so really for a six-year career there, I had a good background in sports and had spent a lot of time studying and writing about the industry. And then when I graduated, you know, it's really hard to break into a sports practice group at a law firm right away. And so really I was leveraging my skills as an oral advocate and a writer to become a litigator. And so I took a job and practice for 2 years in general litigation, knowing, you know, good and well that where I wanted to go was back into the sports industry. And so while I was practicing as a litigator, I spent a lot of my nights and a lot of my weekends studying trademark law. For whatever reason, I had always been drawn to the brands, and I had spent some time as a writer covering NASCAR, and you know, I knew firsthand that branding was very important in the sports industry, and so I thought that might be my gateway back into sports. And so, having gotten that foundation in trademark law, I did some research on the law firms in the area in Chicago that had trademark groups that serviced sports and entertainment clients, and that's a very small number of practice groups, and none better than Loeb & Loeb here.
If your goal is to work in-house in the entertainment industry, Fox Television Studios Senior Vice President of Business and Legal Affairs, Shelley Reed, recommends getting strong, relevant law firm experience first.
I happen to prefer to see young lawyers who have gotten a really good, solid training of a good quality law firm. And the reason that I prefer that is because I don't care what they've done the first 2 years out of law school. I want to know that they've been trained to think, to be careful, to have responsibility, to know how to write. When you come into an environment where I work in production in particular, you get just sort of thrown right into the water and you either sink or swim. And there isn't, it's so busy because of how busy production can be that it's not the learning environment one gets in the luxury of a law firm. Having said that, you know, there are many ways to skin the cat. So you can certainly start out on the production side or the in-house side and learn, but I think that you have limited experience that way, and you limit your opportunities 5 years out. What if you want to go into a law firm? Well, if you haven't been in a law firm, you're 5 years, 8 years out, and you've only worked in-house, then you have nothing of value to bring a law firm. You don't have the credibility that you've been, quote, trained properly, and you're not coming with a book of business, which 8 years out, for example, you know, a law firm's only interested in you, basically, if you're bringing a book of business, unless you have some very unique expertise. But if you have a unique expertise, more likely than not, you're going to have gotten that by being in a law firm environment. So I'm a great proponent of getting the experience in a law firm first. And if you look at any of the big the studios, whether it's Warner Brothers or Fox, News Corp, Sony, all of the people who are at the high end of the general counsel's office, I'm just saying not production, but the general counsel's office, they all have come from having worked in large law firms.
New York Mets general counsel David Cohen agrees. What you learn at a law firm first is invaluable when working as a lawyer inside a sports organization as well.
In particular, if you're ultimately going to be working in-house in a you know, fairly small legal department, which I know certainly most sports teams and sports organizations tend to have small, fairly small legal departments, then certainly it's very valuable to have received training at a law firm first. I think it may be different for people who are going to be working for a company that has a very large and diverse in-house staff. Then you may be able to be trained in that environment. But for the job here, it was critical to have some sort of training for a few years at a law firm first.
So what's the first step? Managing Director of the Motion Picture Association of America's Indian Office, Rajiv Dalal, says it's important to know what aspect of the practice area you want to pursue.
If they want to be entertainment lawyers, that's one thing. But what I've found is the majority of folks coming out of law school that want to be in entertainment, they don't want to be entertainment lawyers. They actually want to be on the business end. They want to be on the corporate side, and that's completely different than being an entertainment lawyer. And they're completely different paths. So, and I've found that law students get confused, and when they're out of law school trying to get into the industry, or even when they're in the industry, they're not happy. So that's the first thing that law students have to figure out. Now, if they want to do the business, if they want to be on the corporate end, if they want to be doing the content deals or the acquisitions or the even the talent representation, you know, just spanning the entire scope of the business end, then when they're in law school, they need to be, pretty much checking their ego at the door. They're not going to be getting those $30,000 summer associate positions. They're going to have to do their internship at an NBC Universal or a William Morris Endeavor, and it's likely going to be for next to nothing. But that's how you build up your contract, and that's how you start to work in the corporate part of the industry, even as a lawyer. You don't need to have an MBA. You don't need to have a business background, but you need to start working at the corporate at the corporate level.
If, on the other hand, you want to be an entertainment lawyer, MPAA's Dalal gives this advice.
If they want to be entertainment lawyers, then what they need to do is focus their, fall clerkships or summer associateships at an entertainment boutique firm or an entertainment law firm if they can get into it. And some folks are lucky; they get chosen by those law firms, and some don't. And if you don't, then you're kind of at a disadvantage.
There's also a difference between a legal affairs and business affairs lawyer, although they can sometimes overlap, as Fox's Reed explains.
Legal affairs is the attorney that's responsible for drafting the document, and the business affairs attorney is in some cases, they're just business affairs executives. They negotiate the structure of a transaction. And depending on where you are, some studios, that's a blended dual role. Some studios, even it's different within our different divisions here. Some are combined and some are separate.
That said, there are several facets of law to practice in the entertainment realm. And USC Shulman details some areas of concentration for those in law school who may be interested in a career in entertainment law.
At the most basic level, it's intellectual property issues, the creative bases for works, such as copyright and trademarks and patent and unfair competition. Many law schools have a basic class in that. Some have much more, like USC, like UCLA, like Southwestern Law School, also out here in Los Angeles. They deal with the business of entertainment, the transactions, the kinds of issues that come up when you represent guilds, when you represent labor unions, when you represent even bankrupt issues. One of the recent cases this year dealt with the refinance or bankruptcy of MGM, that of a big studio. So the entertainment industry deals an awful lot. It can go so far, as I've indicated, and also to distribution throughout the world. How do you make a deal for exhibition in a Chinese theater? How do you make a deal for viewing on a French cable channel? How do you make a deal for a sale of DVD, hopefully without being pirated too much, in Brazil, etc.? All of those fall somewhere in the entertainment law world. Also, of course, you have to deal with the people in the world. They have issues like everyone else. They get divorced, but an entertainment divorce may deal with the valuation of assets and the splitting of them. They may have tax issues with the government, also again involved with the value and prospects for entertainment work such as audiovisual properties. All of those are, in one way or another, under the rubric entertainment law.
On the sports side, New York Mets Cohen has this advice for law students who want to focus their study.
Well, there's certainly no clear-cut path, and a lot of it does come down to luck and being in the right place at the right time. I think the most important thing is to build a great resume, do well in law school, and do well in your practice so that you just build credentials in general. But as far as specific areas of focus, probably labor, antitrust, intellectual property, corporate, and not securities necessarily, but secure transactions, credit, debtor creditor, etc.
In addition to what you learn in class, it's important to network and develop contacts, especially when it comes to the sports and entertainment law arena. All of our guests agree the field is highly competitive, as New York Mets Cohen explains.
Absolutely, very difficult to get jobs in sports, and very high demand because there are always people out there who are looking to get in, and so you're always competing against them. You have to earn your job every day. So it is high demand. I think that probably a lot of the people who are looking for jobs in the industry may have an overly glamorized notion of what these jobs are like. But having said that, it is nice to have this added element of being passionate about what you do when you're working in sports, if like me, you're passionate about sports.
Lobenlob's Fafaria says it's smart to be involved in the field you're pursuing in order to build the contacts.
For, I guess, prospective law students, for folks who haven't started yet, I would get into the sports industry any way I could, whether it means volunteering at a stadium or calling up your local sports leagues and sports agents and volunteering your time by, you know, as a coffee runner or someone who's stuffing envelopes. Anything that gets that line on the resume and that gets you in a position where you can observe and just kind of get a feel firsthand of what this industry is like. Because, you know, it's one thing to say you watch a lot of sports, but, you know, the sports industry covers a lot of areas. And so you really need to see what's going on to understand how everything, you know, fits together. So I would recommend, you know, just getting some sort of industry knowledge. But then beyond that, really, this is the ultimate, you know, who you know industry. And so you just have to get out and meet a lot of people and make a lot of contacts. And so, you know, for folks who are already in law school and are thinking about, you know, I want to turn this JD into a sports practice, you know, I would join as many of the sports-focused bar associations I could. I would certainly give the Sports Lawyers Association a look. I'm active in that association, and I think that it's a fantastic way to network with sports attorneys, and really just, you know, become visible. I think that if you decide to join, let's say it's the Chicago Bar Association Sports Committee, well, don't just join and get on an email listserv. Join, attend the events, and make sure you're meeting people. Volunteer to help plan events, or, you know, if there's writing opportunities, you know, submit your name and try to get some exposure. You have to be really, you know, you have to be visible and you have to be active.
Not only do young lawyers interested in this practice area face stiff competition for jobs, but they'll also find far more career opportunities in certain areas of the country versus others, as USC's Shulman explains.
I think there's more entertainment practice in legal practice in Los Angeles, New York, Nashville, music, than there is in many other cities in the country. And if I were looking to work in the industry, I might go to law school in one of those places, or at least try to summer clerk in a couple of those places, or at least get contacts in those places. Yes, I think geography makes some difference.
Despite it being an in-demand practice area that's hard to break into for young lawyers, USC Shulman says the field is transitioning.
The sector's transiting, like many industries are. Still, unlike many industries in the United States, the entertainment industry is a very positive trade source for the United States' dealings with many other countries. So we have lots of work and lots of need for people. It's cost conscious, though. We can't just willy-nilly spend money. And like everyone else, we are going through some belt tightening. We're also going through more competition. There are many other foreign countries that are beginning to do production of audiovisual works, largely for themselves, internal consumption, but also for worldwide. It is coordinating with those, producing with them, co-producing, co-financing, and co-distributing that may be a significant portion of tomorrow's work.
And certain sectors may see growth. Fox's Reed says new technology may open new opportunities.
I think that there's more opportunity in cable, but I think that if you're in school as a freshman or a first-year law student, 3 years from now, the business is going to look very different. 5 years from now, it's going to look very different. I don't know how it's going to look, but it's changing so rapidly. So the most important thing a young law student can do is really keep his or her eye on the ball of what's going on in technology. Cable is here to stay, I think, for the not too distant future. I think broadcast television is going to morph into a very different way, but certainly the not the mechanics, but the economics of television programming across the board are going to change dramatically. Podcasting, simulcasting, you know, so the metrics of the economy, of the economics of it are going to change.
MPAA's Dalal concurs and stresses the importance of international markets and new media needs.
Anyone getting into this field on the transactional side, or just even in the representative capacity that I'm in, obviously intellectual property courses are very important, understanding copyright. But I would say international copyright classes are really important, which I think people don't either aren't afforded that opportunity within their curriculum, or they overlook it because it's so specialized. And I think that's a very important one, the international intellectual property, which goes over the international treaties like the Berne Convention or WIPO, treaties, the WCT, WPPT. Those are really important trips to get your head around, because it's everything's moving internationally in the entertainment industry. For the movie industry, for instance, out of the 21% box office growth, 13% was in Asia Pacific. So everything's moving towards the emerging markets. So you need to understand that. That's one. Two, I would have probably taken more internet new media technology law classes. I mean, they weren't really offered when I was in law school besides maybe one or two. But that's obviously a very big one, because the trend is moving away from traditional media, and it's moving towards YouTube. It's moving towards issues faced by digital, you know, releasing your content on digital platforms, such as encryption standards or service provider liability issues. There's a whole host of technology type issues which technology and internet, kind of grouping them together, I shouldn't, but that would be the second area that I'd focus on.
It's also a very rewarding practice area with a wide array of disciplines to enjoy, as Fox's Reed details.
The practice of entertainment law is the paradigm example of the interdisciplinary study of law. And so for those people who like to have the variety and the cross-platforming, so to speak, of the different practice areas that one has to be aware of and knowledgeable about, then that's you're going to be attracted to the practice of entertainment.
For Loeb and Loeb's Fafaria, liking the subject matter is key.
I do the branding work, and I love the fact that I protect somebody's image. You know, their brand is who they are, and so I help them protect it. I help them enforce it. I help them monetize it. And it's fun because it's really protecting somebody's front porch, really. But I think that, you know, with anything you do in the law, you ought to like the subject matter as well. And for me, that's why it was important to find a way back to sports and entertainment, because I may be doing an agreement like somebody in the banking industry or in healthcare law are doing, you know, it could be the very same agreement, but mine is related to a sponsorship of the U.S. Open or a co-branding, you know, a sports team and a credit card. And I enjoy that underlying subject matter, and so I think that's what's been very fulfilling.
USC Shulman says the enjoyment is twofold.
One, the people who are involved in this industry are generally creative, bright, and clever, and that's appealing to me. And two, the issues are puzzle-like. You're trying to solve something, to make something work, and I like that challenge.
New York Mets Cohen appreciates a unique view.
At the moment, I happen to be looking out my window, and there's a baseball game going on, so that's certainly a very exciting part of what I do that's not typical of most in-house jobs. But, of course, with respect to the work itself, what I really enjoy is the diversity of it. When you're in-house and you're in a relatively small legal department, you have to do a little bit of everything, and every day is different and presents new challenges. And I enjoy not being in an isolated area of law, and even though sometimes it means that you're working on things that you don't feel like you have a depth of expertise, it's still exciting to have new challenges every day.
And as New York Mets Cohen reminds us, it takes time and skill building before landing the dream job.
It's important not to expect necessarily that your first job out of law school is going to be your ultimate and final job or your dream job. It's important to think of everything you do as a building block, a stepping stone towards the career that you ultimately want to have. And I think priority number one coming out of law school is to get trained as a lawyer really well, and to learn how to practice law, because it's so much more than what you learn, than the concepts you learn in law school, and to build towards what you want, and not expect that it's necessarily a one-step process.
Support for Law School Podcaster comes from the Association of Media and Entertainment Council, AMEC. AMEC is the only organization designed to support the career development and to honor the achievements of in-house counsel and business affairs attorneys at major entertainment and media companies. Are you a future lawyer considering a career in the area of entertainment, media, and sports law? AMEC has a law school section especially for students. The mission of this group is to educate students and to promote interest in the practice area of entertainment, media, and sports law. The AMEC Law School section will host student-sponsored events at law schools throughout the country. Learn more about how you can get involved by visiting the AMEC website at www.theamec.com.
Without question, serious fundamental lawyer skills, determination, who you know, and some luck all play vital roles in building a career in sports and entertainment law. Fox's Reed worked in motion pictures and broadcast television before entering cable television. USC Shulman happened on the industry when he worked on a divorce case involving musical rights and a distribution case for a studio. New York Mets Cohen's opportunity came after practicing at a law firm. MPAA's Dalal was a capital markets lawyer and also worked in music before a friend recommended him for the trade association. And Loeb & Loeb's Fafaria was a sports writer, litigator, and studied trademark law beforehand. There are many different paths, but our experts all agree that gaining the necessary experience, even if it's simply related to the industry, is putting your best foot forward. Become a versatile, well-trained lawyer to expand your opportunities. Focus on your goals, network, and with a little luck, you could build a successful career in the sports and entertainment practice area. For more information, a transcript of the show, or to register to receive more law school podcasts, visit lawschoolpodcaster.com. Look for us on Facebook and Twitter to get the latest news and insight into the world of law school. This is Law School Podcaster. I'm Althea Legospi. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned next time when we explore another topic of interest to help you succeed in the law school application process and beyond.